great. It is good to be in God's house. Amen. I know a lot of circumstances going on in the community. I know a lot of churches are doing online only on Sunday mornings for the next few weeks, but we're here in person, spread out. So we're glad you're here. Continue to pray for the people in our community that are affected with this virus, the ones who have it, the ones that are in quarantine. I was talking to somebody this week from Texas, and they're going through the same thing we are here in a lot of ways, in their school systems and in their communities. But the great thing about this is God's still God. Amen. This hasn't changed who he is, hadn't lessened his power or anything like that. He's still God. We've come to worship him this morning. Amen. We're going to do that this morning, and he allows us to have this day. We're going to worship him this morning. But here in just a minute, I'm going to pray for our shoeboxes here this morning. We got 102 shoeboxes. Amen. Let's give God a hand clap. Best we can tell, that's a little more than we had last year. I think we had around 75 last year. This year, we're over a little over 100. And we were talking earlier as a staff. We pray on Sunday mornings, and we were just thankful that 102 people get to have a Christmas. Amen. And that's an awesome thing to do. And I know we take for granted a lot of times the gifts we do get and the things we do have. And these people here, we pray this morning, we want to pray over them here in just a second, that they go to somebody's hands that changes their life. Amen. They find the truth about the gospel. Well, this morning, there's a lot of things going on in the life of our church this week. Here we got the shoeboxes going out. If you still know anybody in our community needs a free Thanksgiving meal, you see me after service. We have some more papers to fill out. We'll be getting that taken care of and getting those passed out here on Thanksgiving Day. Looking forward to that. But this morning, guys, as always, I know a lot of people's going on in people's lives. Some of our church people have lost some dear loved ones in their life this week, and we continue remembering the Kelly family and the Ernest family, Miss Ernest, and that group. Just remember them. It's a hard time. It's a time of we know where they're at and we know how good they are and all those things that go with that, but it's still missing somebody here is tough. And we think about Thanksgiving and Christmas and all the holidays that kind of roll around on that. So listen, let's be praying and encouraging our church family, especially the ones who've lost people in this time period here. So saying that to say that this morning, I'm going to pray for our shoeboxes. You just pray along with me. I'm going to pray over these. We pray that God uses them in a major way as they go out of these young people's lives. Boys and girls all over this country will be getting some nice gifts for Christmas. So we're going to pray, then we'll move into our worship time together this morning. Just focus on what God has for you here today. Let's pray together. Father, this morning, Lord, we come into your house. This is your Lord's Day. Father, you set this aside many years ago, and Father, we're here this morning. Father, I know some are not here with us for the reasons of the virus, the quarantine. Father, they're away from us here today. So we pray today. We pray for them this morning, Lord, that you strengthen them. Father, help them through these steps with the virus and what's all going on in their lives. Father, we also this morning, we're reminded of how good you are. Father, we're reminded how faithful you are. Even in our darkest times, even in our weakest time, you're strong. And Father, you are the light of the world. Father, we just need to follow you. Now, Father, we pray for our shoeboxes this morning, Lord. There's 102 boxes here in front of me here today, some to the right and some to the left of me this morning. Father, I pray for each and every box. Father, that these youngsters, these young ones that open these up, Father, they will see you in every aspect of these boxes. And Father, that they will come to know you. If they don't know you as personal Savior, Father, something in there, the Bible or something will speak to their lives. And Father, they will know that there is a God and there is people who love each other. So this morning as we sing into the risen King today. Father, as we worship in this place today, we want to do it in spirit and truth. Father, not worrying about what's to the right or left of us. Father, we want to focus on what you would have us to carry away from here today. So Father, we love you today. We're so excited for this opportunity to be in your house. Lord, we love you and it's an honor to be here today. Lord, it's in your name we pray. Amen. Mr. Ricky?
Amen. Thank you, Brother Malin. Thank you for praying us into the presence of the Lord this morning. It's good to see everyone. Good to have Miss Susan back. And I think she's going to be back playing with us next Sunday, so thank the Lord for that. This morning we're going to Sing How Great Is Our God, hymn number 5. Hymn number 5, How Great Is Our God. In 1 Chronicles 16, verse 30 through 33, everyone on earth now tremble. The world stands firm and never to be shaken. Tell the heavens and the earth to be glad and celebrate, and announce to the nations, the Lord is King. Command the oceans to roar with all of its creatures, with the fields to rejoice with all their crops. Then every tree and forest will sing joyful songs to the Lord. He is coming to judge all people on the earth. How great is our God. Stand with me as we sing How Great Is Our God, and all will see how great is our God.
When we walk with the Lord, before Brother Manning comes, bring God's word to us. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Let's worship you.
Father, we're thankful that we can come and sing songs about how great our God is. But Father, I think it's of most importance we live like how great our God is. And Father, we want to trust you. And Father, allow us to trust you with all we have today, all we're going to have tomorrow. And Father, let us follow you in whatever direction of life you're carrying us. Let us do that in obedience. Let's do that with a trust that we have only found in you. Father, the faith we have, Father, in a God who paid it all. Let us be found faithful in your eyes in how we do ministry, how we serve others, how we love others, and how we do life. So this morning, Lord, we pray that you show or already shown us what has our name on it today, what we carry away from this place today, how we pour that to other people's lives. Father, let us be reminded of just how great you are. In the midst of this prayer today and this morning, Lord, I just pray that each and every person in here just kind of focuses on today how great of a God we've come to celebrate in this place today. And how great you've been to us, how faithful you've been to each and every one of us in the midst of hard, difficult, challenging times, uncertain times, unknown times, unexplainable times. But Father, we still focus on how great you are and how faithful you've been to each and every one of us. There's a great old hymn of the faith that says, "How great is thy faithfulness." You're a faithful God, Lord, and we love you today. We pray that you go with us through the rest of this time we have together this morning. We want to celebrate you here today. Father, speak to our hearts. Let us hear and see you in this place today, Father. And we'll go away from here today knowing more about a God who paid it all. Lord, it's in your mighty and holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, amen. It is very windy today. Sounds like at periods of time the roof is coming off the place today. We are having some roof issues, but that's not the way we want to get them fixed, right? So if in a minute we have a convertible top, just hang in there, okay? We're going to continue on with it here today. The wind woke me up last night. I got a wind advisory on my phone. It said about midnight, and I thought, how do they know that's going to hit about midnight? Well, about midnight, it sounded like the whole farm was blowing away. I'm like, hey, that's pretty good, right? That's the first thing they've got right out of 157 tries, right? But nevertheless, this morning we've come together, and I pray that this week is, I know it's been a challenging week for some and difficult for others, but listen, in the midst of all those things, he's still God, amen? So this morning, we're going to look about following Christ. And we think about what that is in our life and listen especially to the unknown things that we can't see. So if you have your Bible, look with me in Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're going to look at about 11 verses this morning. So what does it mean? As I was thinking this week, what does it mean to follow? Right? And we do that pretty well. All of us follow. You go here, there. Your kids kind of follow you around. But you remember as a kid, you wanted somebody to go. You're like, hey, come on, follow me. Right? You go over your buddy's house, they wanted you to show you something, like, hey, come on, follow me. That was always not a good thing to do, but what did you do? Okay, sure, I'll go with you. So we see how it means to just kind of follow and how we do that today. Listen, the definition, I looked it up, of follow is this. It says, it's just to go or come after a person proceeding ahead. Listen, how important it is as a Christian to be going ahead. Right? For us to be striving ahead. How important is that to you in your family's life, whether that be in finances, whether that be wherever you want to be 10 years from now, whatever it is. How important it is to stay ahead, to keep striving ahead. Or how easy is that? It's difficult. And it's a challenge to progress in that way, to keep going ahead. But listen, church, it's utmost importance that we keep going ahead, that we keep striving ahead as we go through life. And listen to that definition going. It says that means you travel behind the direction to whom you are following. So this morning, I want to ask you, who are you following? And this morning, as you get up every day of your life, whose life are you following? Which direction are you following? Is it the Lord? Is that who you're following? Is that saying, okay, I got up this morning, Lord, which way do I go? I want to go the way you want me to go, even though that I want to go over here, but I want to make sure I follow you each and every day of our lives. Can I tell you, in society today, listen, I guess it's going to come across judgmental, but you can see so many people's lives not following a good direction. And you can see, and listen, church, it's not always outside the walls of a church. It's a lot of people sitting inside of our churches today. Listen, they're not bad people. They're just following, they're going the wrong direction, right? They're going down a one-way street, but they're going the wrong way. I went to Detchler the other day, and that is one of the nicest football fields I've ever seen. I drove by it, and little but no, was going down a one-way street. So I asked a guy right with me, I said, is this a one-way street? He said, well, I don't know. He said, and we get to the other end, and it says, one-way street, right? He said, yes, that's a one-way street. I said, but a good thing is we wouldn't go in but one way, right? But you think about it, what it means is going that way and following that direction in life. Listen, we can get on the wrong way street and not even know we're on it sometimes, can't we? We can make those turns in life and we're like, oh, here's me. I'm okay. I'm driving down the road and we'll just go on this way. But what does it mean to follow? Here's what I found out in 43 years of life. We're not generally good at being at followers, are we? In 43 years of life, I've figured out that I want to lead most of the time. Who's with me here this morning? I don't want to. Listen, I've kind of liked that horses that Dad had me over the years. That, listen, my horse always wanted to be what? The lead. They wanted, it didn't matter how thick the brush was or how it was my horse, we wanted to get around. We make new trails to get where we wanted to be in the lead, right? Some of you looking at me like I'm crazy this morning. You know sometimes you're going to be in the lead no matter what it is. However you got to get there, we want to be in the lead of things. Can I tell you this in life? If we put as much exertion on trying to get in the lead as following Christ, where will we be at? Listen, he has to be the lead, church. We got to figure that out. He has to be the lead, the one that kind of leads us through the things we do in this life. Listen, church, in our Christian walk, we need to be followers where we can imitate that pattern that Christ wants us to have. Be imitators of who he is and what he wants us to do in this life. I'm going to share with you Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. I love this verse. It says, follow God's example. So you could stop there in that verse and say, well, that's good. We're good to go there. Therefore, we're as dearly loved children and walk in the way of love. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering of sacrifice to God. Follow Christ. Follow him wherever we may go. The last few weeks, we've talked about being confident. We've talked about being faithful. We've talked about these things of following Christ into the unknown, falling to the unknown directions that we don't know how the outcome is. Most of us want to go if we know what the outcome is, don't we? It's a lot more easier to take challenges in a life knowing that we're going to do the outcome of things. But when challenges, we want to kind of step back and be reserved in a lot of ways and just kind of figure things out as we go. So this morning, as we look, listen, following Jesus is definitely a challenge. But listen, church, it's a challenge and worth taking. It's a challenging worth taking. So this morning, let's just dive into the scripture. We're going to walk through these this morning. Let's read verse number 1 of chapter number 8. I like this verse. This is one I shared in our deacons meeting earlier this morning. It said this. It said, be careful to follow every command, right? So that means I only got to follow what? Every one of his commands. Well, that's easy, isn't it? Look at your neighbor and say, boy, I've knocked that out of the park every day. 365 days a year. Man, I'm batting 1,000 on that, right? Kind of like up there trying to hit a, like step in the batter's box and somebody throwing 100 mile an hour and you swing after it hits the mitt, right? That's how bad we miss it sometimes in this life. But the Bible says, follow every command. And listen, he goes on, he says, and I'm giving you, he says, I'm giving you today so that you may live and increase and enter and possess the land to which I promised an oath to your ancestors. So the first thing we see is found in that verse. Listen, we need to make sure that we follow Christ in the unknown, that we follow his direction. And listen, not just the parts of the Bible that we want to follow, right? Well, y'all for quiet this morning. Y'all got this all down pat, right? Y'all are following every bit of this Bible this morning, right? We can just say a prayer and we can go home, right? See, we've got to watch out how we follow parts of it. When we talked about this on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights, that we break into the Bible and we do this, that we follow just enough of it to feel like we're doing good. We do just enough of it to say that we've been to church and we've celebrated the King. Can I tell you that people are dying and going to hell every day while we're satisfied with just doing the part that makes us feel good? That in society today, there are people who are dying and stepping out in eternity, thinks they've got it all figured out, but they have no clue who God is. Because they've drawn a picture of how we follow Christ through the years, and that's who they're patterned their God by. See, when the Bible says follow every command, live them that way, that's the way we should do it. But we don't pick and choose to do it like that because we want to do what's good and what fits our life really, really well. Listen, we think about what Leviticus 26, 3 and 4 says this. It says, if you follow my decrees, and he said, are careful to obey my commands, I will send rain on its season. And then the ground will yield crops, and these fruits, trees will also. Listen, church, it's not a time to pick and choose. It's a time to follow. It's not a time to pick and choose what I want to do and how I want to do it. It's time to follow. Listen, we've done enough of that already with not good results, have we? We see in today's time of how we do these things and how effective it is today. Listen, there's a promised land for all believers who keep the faith and finish the race, right? I read that verse this week at Miss Ernest's funeral that, listen, you keep the faith and you finish the race. Listen, there's a race called life, and all of us is going to come to the end one time or another if the good Lord doesn't come back and get us. But are you going to be found faithful in the end of that race and time that you finish those ways? Listen, as we see today, Deuteronomy 4, 1 says this. It says, now Israel, hear the decrees of the laws that I'm about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and you may go take possession of the land of the Lord, God of your ancestors, is giving you. And we think about heaven today. Anybody ever sit around and think about heaven? You ever just sit around and think about how good that's going to be? You ever think around and see about our lives now, how difficult it is, how we experience loss, how we experience pain, and we experience these things, and we think about heaven, and listen, that's the promised land that God says if you'll keep the faith, you'll inherit that land. Keeping the faith of how it is in our life. Listen, I'm going to read verses 2 through 5, and listen, this morning as we see, remember the who cares for you, us, you and I, and the unknown. Look at verse 3, it says. As we see here, it says, remember how the Lord led you away in the wilderness for 40 years. It says, to humble your hearts, whether you to keep his commands. He says, he humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feed you with manna, which neither nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that a man does not live on bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. He says, your clothes did not wear out. He says, your feet did not swell during the 40 years. He says, know then that your heart is as a man disciplining his son. He says, so that the Lord, God himself, disciplines you. We'll see some things out of this verse. So we think about the unknown. Listen, remember, this morning, church, and I've told you this before, remember all of what God has done for you. Don't let that get too far away from your life and remember what he has done for you. This morning, listen, but these people went for 40 years I'm only 43, right? So these people went for 40 years wandering in the wilderness, right? They didn't know for 40 years, right? That is how long is that? That is a long time, right? And we think about wandering around for 40 years. And listen, and he says in this passage, he reminded them of that. He said this was a test to see if their hearts, to see whether they would keep his commands or not. We do great with tests, don't we? My kids talk about tests all the time, and I tell them they don't want to. See, my kids are smart enough now. They're way smarter than I am. They figure they compare my grades to me, right? Anybody else experience that in your family? My kids always say if they don't make that good a grade, well, what kind of grade did you make, Dad? I said, well, you know what? Dad's not in school anymore, right? But we see the test in life, and we see how we do things. And I tell my kids this, and they would tell you this, they stand here today. I said, the difference between me and you is you applied yourself. I didn't apply myself. That you study and you try to do things, and you make better grades at it. Listen, church, the more we apply ourselves to God's word, the more we're going to resemble God. And we see the unknowns in him. We see these things. And listen, we face tests of our faith. Listen, if you and I are hungry for the word of God, he will feed us. If you're hungry for God's word, he will feed your life. He will pour those things into your life. Listen, it's important for each and every one of us to live on the words that come from God. Matthew 4:4 says this. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Not our words, but his words. Not my will be done, but his will be done. And also says this, guys, we think about this. See, remember, God had been faithful for 40 years. Most of the time, we give up after 40 seconds. Mr. Gary, I thought about this week. I thought about wandering around in that wilderness for 40 years, right? We wander around for 40 seconds, and then we just lose everything we got because it ain't going right for 40 seconds of our life, right? Could you imagine 40 years of just kind of being tested and wandering in the wilderness? But who provided for them for 40 years, church? He took care of them for 40 years. These people wandered around, but he never left them for a second in life. Listen, so why after 40 seconds or 40 minutes of our life, if things don't go just like we want it to, we just kind of give up and lose all train of thought? He still provides for us every day. Who got you up this morning? Who provided the air you breathe? Who provided to you a way to get here today and to do all these things? It's God. Don't forget that. So we see this morning as we think about it today, how receptive are you to God's discipline? Let's look at verse 5. I'm going to read it again. Now, this is the part of Christianity that I think we don't grab a hold of. It says this in verse 5. It says, know then in your heart that a man discipline his son. I was blessed to have discipline in my life and structure. I see so much of that not today. I see so much of grandparents and things and are having to take the role of parents today. And this is not a bad session on anyone. I've seen people's lives while having to step up and raise their grandkids that they shouldn't have to be raising because of the parents' decisions they make. But we're all one decision away from being that parent. I always want to say that because, listen, everybody, we want to look at people and how it's all these people are throwing their life away. Listen, they made a bad decision that helped them get there. You and I are not exempt from that. And you see here today, and it talks about discipline, son. I had somebody to teach me the rights and wrongs from life, and it was applications by that. And I talk to kids at school all the time now. And listen, I'll be honest with you. I ask them, say, what's your discipline like at home? And most of them say, well, it's time out, right? How many would have been glad for their dad to call a timeout during back in the day, right? I tell that all the time. I'm saying, listen, there have been times I wanted to call a timeout, right? Listen, I'm not bad at parenting, say timeout. I use that for my kids. I count and all that. But listen, that was not how I was raised. That was not how I was disciplined. And he goes on in that verse, and it says, discipline your son. He says, so that the Lord God disciplines you. See, we don't like to be disciplined. We don't like to be told we're wrong. We don't like to be going through these things. We just want to kind of live life and go on. But listen, we need God to keep us in check, right? How many need somebody to keep them in check? I need somebody to kind of keep me in check, keep me in line. And listen, I need to be receptive of that when that happens. I need to make sure that I do that. Proverbs 3:11 and 12 says this. It says, my son did not despise the Lord's discipline. and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. I didn't understand it when I was a kid, when I was getting disciplined by my parents, but I understand how much they love me now. I didn't get it, Mr. E. I just didn't get it, why the things I did and my grades and things like that, I got disciplined for. I didn't get it, but I do now, because I know how much my mom and dad love me and they wanted me to succeed in life. I remember my dad said this one time. He said, "This is going to hurt you more than it does me." I didn't grab a hold of that, but I understand what it means now. It's being a parent and disciplining my kids. It hurts, don't it? You think about every day of our lives, guys. You and I, we go and we do things in life. Who's looking down on us? He sees where I go. He sees what I do. He sees how I love on other people. He sees how I care for other people. Listen, he sees us. Listen, church, at the end of the day, he wants to see us be faithful. He wants to see you and I go out and love on people's lives and serve and witness and live out the word he allows us to live. We're going to verse 6 this morning. It says this. Listen, we need to walk in obedience in the unknown. Look what verse 6 says. It says, "Observe the commands of the Lord your God. Walk in obedience to him." It says, "In revering him." We see what it means to walk in obedience, following the Lord and following his direction. Walk in obedience and keep the faith. Because why? He strengthens us. We get our faith from who? That's what we're walking with. That's our strength. That's our faith. Listen, we need strong faith in the days that we're facing now. We need that godly strength to get up in the morning and face the things we're going to have to face. We're going to need it tomorrow. We're going to need it the next day. We're going to need it as long as we're here. We're going to need the faith that moves mountains to face the things you're going to have to face in this life. Listen, verses 7 through 9, it says this as we go on, and it says, and it says, "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land which brooks and streams and deep springs of gushing into the valleys and hills, and the land where wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates and olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and will lack for nothing, a land where the rocks and the iron you can dig out of the hills." Listen, we think about what it means each and every day of life, the promises of following God in obedience, the rewards for us as believers to follow God in obedience. Listen, it's for us as believers. It's for everybody who calls on the name of the Lord. So that's most important for us, to keep serving and keep loving other people the way that God has loved us. Listen, he will supply all of our needs. And we think about what it means this morning. I think about Psalm 23. Though you think about walking beside the still water. You think about what it means to be in the presence of God and be in that promised land. Church, does that not excite you? Does that not excite you that one day, whether I pass in this walks of life or Jesus comes back, that one day I get to take a stroll with Jesus? And then I'm going to be in awe of him singing and just being around the throne. Listen, that's the promised land, church. That is where you and I have got to get our excitement about. We got to make sure that we never lose our excitement of the promises of God. That means thankful for promises. Our promises won't last sometimes, will they? God's promises will, won't they? Listen, Revelation 21, 1 through 5 says this. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw a holy city in Jerusalem coming down from heaven, from God, and he prepared his bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more crying, no more pain, and the older things will have passed away.'" It says in verse number 5, "He seated at the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" These words are trustworthy and true.
He wrote us a whole book of them for trustworthy and true. Can you imagine a day that we don't have to get up and we don't have to worry about any pain? Church, can you imagine the day we get up, we don't have to worry about any disappointment? Church, can you imagine? Can you just focus on and think about the promised land that you get up and all you're going to do is praise God? Take those strolls by those still waters. What does that do to you as a believer? We know those promises, don't we? Why? Because we know what the Word says. Can I tell you there's a lot of people who don't know those promises this morning? There's lots of people in our community here and our families that have never, ever made that relationship with the God that they can take that stroll of life with. Listen, church, as we go and we think about this morning, lastly is this, found in verse number 10 and 11. Let's don't forget who leads us through the unknown. Look what it says here in the verse this morning. Verse 10, it says, when you have eaten and you are satisfied, he said, praise the Lord your God for the good land that he has given you. Now, I know a lot of times in verse 10, we have prayer before we eat, and I think we should do that. We should take time to thank God before for the things he's given us. But verse 11, it says this. It says, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. Be careful we don't forget the things that he has done for us. Don't forget the faithful things that he's brought us out of. Whether it's food or whatever it is, and whether it's a sickness, whatever it is in our life, be careful, church, that we do not forget the God that delivered us from the things we face. Listen, another thing is this, church. Be careful not to forget the God of the unknown, because it's known to him, ain't it? God knows what we're facing. He knows where we're headed in this life. Listen, and I finish out verse 11. It says, it's failing to observe his commands and his laws and his decrees that I'm giving you this day. Make sure we keep our focus on him. Listen, God will lead you if we'll just follow. And you use the example all the time. When Shelly and I first had kids, I remember that there was the time when you put these little leash things on the kids, little harnesses and things like that. And I think it was just kind of first becoming out. And, you know, every time you go out in public, you'd see a kid take off walking, then all at once the brakes would be put on. And I'm like, wow, that's kind of interesting. And I told Shelly, I said, you know what? I said, I just don't think I could be that parent, you know. I just don't think I could do that. But after my kids got a little bigger, I'm like, that's a great idea. Right? Why? Because kids do what? They are kind of everywhere, ain't they? I mean, my kids could be standing right beside me, then the next thing you know, they're like gone, right? I'm like, hey, just one was right here, right? Where did they go? I told Shelly all the time, I said, I'm glad God blessed us with two, because if I'd had any more than that, I definitely wouldn't have had any, I wouldn't have had any hair at all, because I could barely keep up with two kids. Why? Because kids are always on the move. And kids will return back to you after a while, right? Maybe after you kind of assert, hey, where you're at or whatever. And I say that to say this morning, church. Listen, we're just like those little kids. We have a rough time following, don't we? We know where to return back to, and we know how to do it. So I thought about this. I wonder how many times God wanted to pull us back. I said this. I needed a harness like those kids where he can pull me back. Every time you see one of them now, you're going to think of that, ain't you? Only thing I see with those things, they've got too much rope. Listen, this morning, church, just a few questions this morning. As we think about God just following in him. Listen, what direction are you going today? Only you and him know. Listen, have you forgotten who cares for you? Even when you face the unknowns of life. Are you walking in obedience to the Word today? Is your life reflecting this Word that we're reading here today? Can your life be found trustworthy and true to God's Word today? Have you forgotten the promises God had made you? I've seen how many people will tell me sometimes, man, I just forget about how good God is. People say that. I mean, we can all get there. We get in a place and time that God has been so good to us that we forget about how good He really is. Listen, this is this. Don't forget who you're following. Don't forget it. Remember what it said? Don't forget the Lord. Don't forget to follow Him. Listen, I'm going to share this verse in closing this morning. Deuteronomy 4:9 says this. It says, only be careful and watch yourselves closely. Watch yourselves closely. We spend a good time watching everybody else's life. We spend a fair amount of time saying, oh, this person or that person needs to get it together. Watch yourself closely that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen. Or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Listen, and this is the end of it. It's what I want you to get today. It says, teach them to your children and their children after them. Listen, church, teach what God has given you and give it to somebody else. Take what God has given you, the grace, the peace, and the mercy, and salvation, and pour that to somebody else's life. Listen, if we're following God, then we have the desire to love like He loves. I'm going to share this morning, and I'm done here today. I see a fair amount of people in life who don't have any direction. That they're waiting to follow anything that's going somewhere. I remember as a teenager, I had some friends of mine that they always kept saying, man, I can't wait till I'm 18. You ever heard that? So many of my buddies said, man, when I get 18, man, I'm getting out. I'm going to get my own place, and I'm going to get on my own because, listen, I want to do these things. I want to go out. I want to be this person. And everybody goes through those phases in life, and they thought they had it all figured out. Can I tell you today, there's a lot of believers that think they have it all figured out. I remember telling them that, man, that sounds like a great idea, but I have got it made at home. A lot of you smiling because you had it made at home, didn't you? You had somebody love for you. You had somebody care for you. Man, I had an awesome mom as a cook. And then life went on, and we see what it is. We got it made. Listen, church, as a believer in God's arms, you have got it made. So why in the world do we want to go follow anything else? But I say this to say this about my buddies. They didn't have what I had at home. And they wanted to go follow something else. Listen, church, don't forget who holds you in His arms. Why in the world wouldn't you want to follow Him everywhere? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day. Father, I thank You for this opportunity to read Your Word. Father, and understand about who You are in our lives. Father, I know this week here has been an up and down week for some here, been an up week for others. And some in this place this morning, Lord, it's been a down week for them. But the great thing of following You, Lord, is when we're up, You're with us. When we're up and down, You're with us. And when we're at our lowest, You're with us. So many times I know that I can't speak for everybody in this place this morning or the ones listening, that our lives are like one big roller coaster. We go up. And we go down. We go twisting around. But listen, Lord, as long as I'm on the roller coaster ride with You, Father, I'm ready to go wherever that is. However that is. Father, I want us to remember this morning of how great you are, Father, how good of a God you are, how you hold us. Not just hold us, but you hold us in the palm of your hand. You hold us tight. So today, Lord, in the times of uncertainty, times of difficulties, Father, we're reminded of the price you paid for each and every one of us here today, every one of us out in community. You paid it all. So today, Lord, as we go through what Scripture says today, Father, we want to make sure that we be careful to follow every command you give us. So, Father, it doesn't matter if you want us to go right or left. Father, let us be willing to do that day. Let us be obedient children. And Father, let us never, ever get off the ride that you have put us on. Father, I pray for these people today. I pray that you protect them. Father, you give them wisdom and understanding to face the things that they had to face today and the rest of their lives. Lord, we love you today. We're so grateful and so thankful for who you are in our lives. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.